Power Up Suits, and welcome into a special episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is a sort of, I guess, partner in crime, a good friend of the show, a good friend of mine, everyone's favorite Gamers Guild master. It's the one and only Nate. What's happening?
Not much, man. Rolling with it. Just got to paint up ASM and Carnage. Hopefully get them on the table sooner than later and on camera.
Wait. I thought those weren't released yet in the United States. Are you saying that you ordered them from overseas?
Not exactly. Am I allowed to do a plug here?
Because sure. Plug it away. I don't care.
I'm gonna plug away then. Extra shout out for Jason then. So I am the Gamers Guild as a whole, I guess, really is sponsored by a wonderful store over in the UK called Tritex Games. After communicating them the additional delays that we seem to be having here in the U.S., Jason was able to get me hooked up. He sent them over from there to here when they got released, and it only took like a week for it to get over here, so... they've been on the painting table a little bit. I wanted to finish painting my Sam Spam for an event that went to down in Birmingham. But yeah, if you were super eager for the remaining Spider Foes and Black Cat and Amazing Spider-Man, Tritex Games, use the code TritexGGCP5 at checkout. It'll get you an extra 5% off, which helps eat that shipping a little bit. But yeah, no, so I'm super excited. I've got a couple of... games in with them unpainted, but of course I like them painted for the channel. So
right, yeah, they're fun. I've proxied a little bit with them, so yeah, good stuff there. And I'm waiting until Carnage releases to do our Separation Anxiety event, which I'm very excited to run. We were going to run it this weekend, but of course Carnage has not come out yet.
Yep,
such is life. But Nate, why you're on the show and why this is an HPP special is something I've been kind of teasing a little bit on the podcast, but I'm very excited to finally kind of bring forward, if you will. And that is that me, you, and multiple other content creators are doing what is going to be called the 3-Box Challenge. And what that basically means is we are doing an online TTS league where everyone gets the core set. And then we have to choose 3 other boxes to make an affiliation and make a roster with and bring that to a league format. That's kind of the long and short of it. And this was organized by Mark over at the Roster Doctor. So make sure to go give him a shout out and tell him how awesome of an idea this was, because I agree. I think it's a pretty awesome idea. And would you say that I summed it up pretty good there, Nate?
I think you summed it up quite well.
Great. So... what we did is Mark reached out to all these different content creators, and so we got together and we all kind of agreed to kind of not have a lot of overlap, right? Because it's really easy to say, well, some of these people that we're playing with are highly competitive. And so it's like, well, what's the most competitive thing in a format like this? Thing X. So everyone's going to go for that thing, you know, whatever that thing might be. But we all kind of agreed like, hey, let's mix it up and not try to have too much overlap. So, Nate, what did you go with as your affiliation that you're going to focus on?
Well, speaking of Amazing Spider-Man, I am going with the Web Warriors because they've got these cool new additional pieces that are going to really help round out the roster. So I have a Web Warrior team with a little bit of side of Avengers.
Okay, fun. So... that was another thing that they talked about in the rules with this. If it has been spoiled, you can use it, basically. So that's why everything in the ASM Black Cat box has been spoiled, so I would imagine that you're going to be taking them. But we'll dive into the specifics here in just a few minutes. My roster is X-Men focused. I have the option for X-Force, but I'm forcing myself, haha, pun intended, to... use X-Men. I really want to use X-Men. I feel like that they're just fun characters in general. They're characters I want more reps with in general. So I'm giving them a go. And I've actually been playing some X-Men lately with Cyclops and Jean and Cable and everything. So it's a fun thing. Like, I could flex X-Force, but I don't see it happening because I'm not even bringing Cat and Mouse as one of my tactics cards. And I feel like if you're going to flex X-Force, you want that card.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, Nate, let's start with your roster. And how would you like to do it? Would you want to run it down, just read the whole thing out, and then talk about thought process? Or kind of go through a couple of individuals, talk about the thought process as you go through?
Yeah, let's break it down a little bit here.
All right, so go for it.
So first, the boxes that I chose. The first one is probably kind of like the obvious pick, which is Spider-Man, the Miles version that comes with Gwen. They are the well-known, well-rounded, well-used at this point, mm-hmm. Web Warrior box.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more recent edition of Black Cat and Amazing Spider-Man. So those were the first two expansions. I then had the option of maybe like trying to continue to lead into affiliated options and getting Daredevil along with Bullseye or just picking up Venom. Mm-hmm. But kind of with some little bit of meta thinking of just like, hey, there's not going to be a lot of crisis deviation going on because we're going to have a lot of 17 threat games because there's not going to be too many people running around with the other threat totals because we're mostly getting ours all from the core set. So I wanted to make sure I had a really solid 17 list. And I know that both of these characters from this pack play really well in at least Miles's Web Warriors, which is the one I'm leaning more towards. And that is the Iron Fist and Luke Cage pack.
I really, really like that. And let me see if I've got kind of maybe just, let me just guess at a little bit of the strategy here, okay? So you mentioned Venom, right? Now, Venom has some tools that those two characters don't have, but there's also a very specific tactics card that Venom comes with called Lethal Protector. Now, the Luke Cage and Iron Fist pack comes with a very similar card in Heroes for Hire that allow them to basically do the same thing Venom does, except it's not the same as what he does, but in terms of placing within one, they become the target, and then fun things happen.
Yeah.
So was that part of the reason that informed your decision-making with this?
Not really. In one of those earlier test games, it was actually just because I've been trying different people to plug into this new style of Web Warriors that we have access to. And Kraven and Iron Fist are two that I've tried and really enjoyed. And just decided to go with Iron Fist because I think Luke Cage does a little bit more than Lizard mm-hmm. for the Web Warriors.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point there. And I personally really like the two of them in Web Warriors quite a bit. And I really like Kraven a lot too, but I agree with you. I think you're getting more bang for your buck in terms of sticking to the three box thing. And not that you're necessarily going to do it, but giving you that Avengers option, I think is really nice.
Yeah, that's the other big thing. They're both Avengers. So if I really need to, if I do end up in one of those awkward threat totals, a couple of additional three threat Avengers that are better than Iron Man, just to be honest, are great flexes to be able to have and go to.
Yep, very fair. So what is the rest of your roster looking like? Because you said you've got the spider, all the spider people, plus Luke Cage and Iron Fist. So that's six models right there. So what'd you round out your roster with?
Yep, so then from the core box, I went with Black Widow because, again, awkward threat totals. It's always good to have a backup too. Not to mention she always just sits on a back point really well. Baron Zemo, because he is still one of the best three threat characters in the game, period. I'd say what you want. He's still top tier. Just additional rerolls, both defensively and offensively for the rest of the Web Warriors is gross. And then I went with the dual captains, Captain Marvel and Captain America.
Nice.
Just kind of realizing it, I didn't have any four threat flexes, kind of along the same line of thought of like, man, I need a two, so I'll have Black Widow. None of the Web Warriors that I brought are four threats, so I decided Captain Marvel, and again, her ability to reroll attack dice while holding an objective and getting to reroll those skulls as well with Miles is a little cute and a little synergistic. And then, of course, because I'm running Avengers, going with Captain America.
Right. Yep. Makes perfect sense. I like it. And you mentioned Zemo. I think it's funny. It's like, say what you will, Zemo this and that. Like, yeah, Zemo's still great. I don't think there's much conversation to be had other than that. And he always kind of, just when you think he's done or maybe going to be supplanted, you know, just pops right back in there for utility. You know what I mean? So I really like that a lot. And I like the Captain Marvel flex because I think that's an interesting one where a character that, again, it's like really good character, but maybe kind of overlooked recently, and having that 4-point flex and having a character that's got that really nice energy builder and has some resistances to energy attacks, which are kind of coming up a little bit lately. So I kind of like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think your 17 core would look like?
So the core 17 first consists of the two Spider-Mans. So that's going to be Miles and Peter for a nice round 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I can just flex in 3 different 3s. So Black Cat is one I'm probably going to be looking at more times than not. Just a lot of versatility in her kit, and just completely different playstyle from pretty much any other 3 threat that we've seen with what she's able to do with Stagger and just be extremely rude. Gwen obviously has a lot of appeal, especially against these more aggressive teams like Brotherhood and Black Order, which are scattered amongst things that are going on. So it's probably going to consist of those 4 core Web Warriors plus Iron Fist is the first go-to. But if I need to go a little bit more aggressive, maybe taking out Gwen and adding in Baron Zemo.
Okay.
But the core 17 is going to be the 2 Spider-Mans with 3 additional 3s.
Cool. I love it. That sounds like a lot of fun. And what tactics cards did you bring to this?
So I brought Iron Fist. I brought Luke Cage. You're going to bring Heroes for Hire. It's just part of it. I feel like I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't bring Disarm, because I have been vocal about it for so long and all that kind of stuff. So brought it. As far as the affiliated ones, I brought Avengers Assemble again, just in case I am put in that niche scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to have that just available for Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Captain America, Black Widow, Captain Marvel is going to be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But then I brought some of the spider-focused ones that I haven't before in Cat and the Spider and Spider Tracker.
Okay, so Cat and the Spider. Let's talk about that one, because it's a very specific one, but what does that one do, Nate? Because I think it's a really interesting one.
I believe it's a power off of a Peter Parker Spider-Man and a power off of Black Cat. And then it acts very much like the sibling rivalry / get help that Thor and Loki has, where Spider-Man, as long as he's within a certain range of Black Cat, will throw her somewhere and cause a collision. She will not suffer damage.
Yeah.
But additionally, she then gets to interact with any number of objectives for free.
Yeah, I think that's the spicy part of that, because like getting the collision is cool and her not taking damage is cool, but really she now gets to interact with an objective for free, which I think is just really strong with a lot of what her play is.
Yep. And I think what's really interesting with that is it's also out of activation interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the objectives we have, we know that there's extremist consoles where she could maybe heal herself or somebody else out of activation doing that. There are the meteors that she has a chance at flipping. And, of course, any other objective that somebody else flexes in that requires interacting with. It just makes that card and duo much more powerful.
Yeah, really nice. And then Spider Tracker is another one that is really new to the game, obviously, because it's with ASM. But what do you think of that one? Like, so after an enemy character ends a move action within range 4 of an allied Web Warriors character, that allied character may spend 2 power to play this card. This character may advance short. And by this character, it means the Web Warrior character?
Yeah, the Web Warrior that paid the 2 power.
Exactly. So what do you think of that?
Holy crap. It's like, if we're talking about things that are overlooked, things like Avengers Assemble get a ton of praise because it's out of turn activation, or out of turn, out of activation movement.
Yep.
Which can be huge because you can have already gone, you go to the point, you do what you need to do. This card lets you willingly move one of your own characters when your opponent, on your like opponent's turn.
Right.
That's
so good.
It's crazy. It's so good.
And so let me ask you this with like a use case for this card. So if you see someone barreling down on Miles, right, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to move Miles out of attack range. It means that you could, if somebody else is within range 4, you could move them in to support Miles, or you could move that character onto an objective, or move them into a place to threaten another model. Like, you don't just, it's, I think that the use case of this card is really cool, but most people will probably read it and say, oh, well, it's obviously defensive. If someone's coming to attack you, you just run away.
There's definitely a get out of jail aspect to it. When you see a Corvus Glaive with the Reality Gem bearing down on a character, it's kind of like, oh, well, this character's ready to get the heck out of there, kind of a situation. But being able to also move yourself onto an objective after already being pushed off of one, maybe even just getting yourself in range to play another tactic card like Heroes for Hire. Again, just a ton of versatility out of that card, and I'm really excited to see what kind of shenanigans I can pull off with it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that one goes. So so what else do you got for tactics cards?
Let's see, Avengers Assemble. I think I already talked about that. All webbed up. It's nothing new. It's nothing fancy, but it's still real good. And then the 2 restricted cards that I'm bringing are 1, Brace for Impact. Web Warriors don't typically have a lot of power, and the only 2 restricted cards in the core set are Brace for Impact and Patch Up. Don't see Patch Up being used too often, hopefully, effectively, because that means either 2 of my characters have gotten banged up really well or something else. So I think Brace for Impact is going to be a lot easier to get off, especially since my team, I want and hope to be spread out on different objectives around the map. Patch Up not being able to play onto yourself is kind of a knock for it there. But Miles and Gwen come with the very powerful All You've Got.
Of course.
And so it feels silly to have access to that card and not just bring it.
It would feel silly to not bring that, correct. I think that's, I think that there was a lot of discussion to be had amongst all of the content creators of, do we just bring Miles and Gwen for All You've Got? Like, I'm pretty sure people had that conversation. So, so yeah, that's really awesome. It sounds like a fun bit of tactics cards there, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So what about crisis-wise? Did you only bring the core set crises, or did you bring something different?
I brought just the core set crises. I did have the option to flex out into the spider portals, but I personally have not had a tremendous amount of luck with that objective myself. And really, any of the times where you are spending power on objectives, I think that hurts the Web Warriors, who are a little bit more of a power-hungry affiliation. So subbing in an additional secure objective that's going to be draining their power source isn't going to be something I want to try to do, especially when it's not something that can be guaranteed.
Yeah, I feel you on that 100%. So, cool. Those core set crises, for those that might not know, what are those again? Because we've mixed them all up these days.
Yep, so secures are the deadly meteors where you're flipping them all, I think, on the C layout.
Yep.
There is the B layout, which is Infinity Formula, which is feeding more power into your team. And then there's the Extremis Consoles, which is the D layout, that diamond shape, that you can interact to heal another character within range 2 of. And then the extracts are the cosmic cubes, the spider infected, and what is it? The scroll agent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, that sounds like a fun list, Nate. And what do you feel like the strengths of that list are?
Durability, quite frankly. Both Black Cat and Miles both have stealth. I don't think anybody's out here is bringing, what is it called? Marked for Death.
Marked for Death,
that, loses stealth. So that's going for them. Gwen has her lifesaver superpower for 2 power. Iron Fist and Luke Cage are both naturally tanky. Amazing Spider-Man with all of his rerolls is tanky. Miles Spider-Man is also really tanky. So I'm hoping for a just really durable list that's not necessarily going to hit super hard, but I kind of want it to hit super controlling. So Iron Fist being able to put out an activation token, Black Cat being able to put out a stagger, and just keep my opponent limited in what they're able to do.
That makes sense. I think that sounds very exciting. I mean, as someone who loves the Web Warriors, I think you will not have a problem doing that. But where do you see any weaknesses for this list?
I think there is one list that scares me a little bit. I mean, first off, any Black Order. I don't think we actually had any Wakanda show up. I haven't looked through all the options myself. But Black Order's just kind of always scary and a boogeyman. But I think Lexa has thrown together something that's really spicy, that's kind of effectively Magic's version of Death and Taxes,
mm-hmm.
where really going to be taxing the power supply of the spiders through effects like Loki and Deadpool, and spiders don't have a lot of power in the first place. So
right. Just stay away from Loki. There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, his range 4 bubble.
Exactly. Way easier said than done. So, or I don't know. Whatever the phrase is of it's not easy to do. Easier said than done. Yeah, that's the word. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
English hard. So, yeah, Nate, that sounds really exciting, and I'm really excited to see how your games go. I know you haven't played a ton of Web Warriors overall, so I'd like to see what your thoughts are on them, because I obviously love them. I think they're one of the most fun affiliations to play, and, you know, you kind of have to retrain your brain not to want to fight with them sometimes, you know, which makes it kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool, man. That sounds really fun. And Suits out there, if you want to take a look at Nate's list, you can check out the link in the description to the tabletop.to page, and his list is published on there, so you can check that out over there. And same thing with my list that we're about to go through here. And yeah, check out everybody's list. And if something sounds fun to you and you want to get it on the table, definitely do it. Also, make sure to check out the House Party Protocol Patreon. It's patreon.com/houseparty protocol. You can get access to our Discord over there. Well, we're going to be talking about this league as it goes on and amongst the other fun things that we talk about. Keep it chill over there. It's $1 a month if you're interested in something like that to support the show and what we do here and pay for hosting, that kind of stuff. Help us out with giveaways, whatnot. So I really appreciate all our patrons over there. And if you want to become one, you can check that out. And then also check out the twitch.tv/DarthBalls05. It's balls with a Z because high school me thought that was edgy. So DarthBalls05 with a Z on twitch.tv, and we'll be streaming our games over there when I have them. And my first opponent is Jacob from Xavier Protocol, so that's going to be pretty fun. Nate, who's your first opponent?
I've got Finger Guns.
Oh, fun.
Pew, pew, pew. Who's running that accursed Black Order that I don't want to play against.
Of course, of course. So with that, though, let's talk about this crazy list that I'm bringing. So I told myself I wanted to play more X-Men. Like, if you listen to the last After Party, I really want to love X-Men. Like, they are some of my favorite characters in Marvel overall, and the way that they're in MCP right now, I simultaneously love and am frustrated by it. because I think they capture the magic of some of the characters pretty good. But at the same time, they're really interesting, like, toolbox characters that never seem to be able to do all the stuff you want them to do. It's kind of like how I would say it's just what I've figured out with them, I guess you could say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the three boxes outside of the core set that I brought were obviously Storm and Cyclops, because you get two leaders for the price of one. That just makes sense. Then I brought Cable and Domino and Beast and Mystique. And I had a really, really hard time with that third choice. Like, I knew I wanted Cable and Domino just because I'm in love with Cable right now, and mm-hmm. Domino's super good, and they're both X-Men affiliated, so like, it was to me a no-brainer on that. But with Beast and Mystique, I really struggled hard on this one because I really like Cassandra Nova right now, and I think that the X-Men being able to have that form of control that she brings to the battlefield would be really interesting. But also, I like Jean a little bit too, and I've been playing some games with Jean lately, and being able to have the Jean card available so your mm-hmm. opponent has to not take out Jean or actively go against putting damage into Jean, because if she goes down, Cyclops has the potential to do an optic devastation. Because that card specifically says may make an attack. It doesn't say it has to be a free attack. So if you have four power, then boom, optic devastation, range 5 beam onto people. And I love that. So that was just one of the things I struggled with. And again, I really like Cassandra Nova. And I think that Cassandra Nova plays really interesting with a Cyclops specific led X-Men. So, mm-hmm. But anyways, we didn't go with that. We didn't go with that because smart money, if you will, was on Beast and Mystique. And specifically, I think the reasoning why those two won out is because I get access to advanced R&D in that pack, and I also get access to Deception, which, because Cassandra Nova has Deception for one power for the whole game, but at least I have the opportunity to use it as needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, so those are literally everyone from those packs is in the list. And then rounding it out from the core set, we have Baron Zemo. I know. And guess what? Black Widow. I know. Shocking absolutely no one. For the same reasons that you put them in your list is basically why they're there for me. Black Widow for weird point values. And then we've got Dr. Octopus. And I put Dr. Octopus in this list because, one, I think he's just a really kind of just an all-around good character, right? And I think that him being able to have a throw to be able to manipulate the battlefield a little bit, I think most characters in the game are going to be in that roughly size 2 range. Mm-hmm. So him having a size 2 throw or, you know, terrain throw, whatever, and then being able to generate that power for when I need to use the advanced R&D, I think will be really nice. And he's kind of a little tankier than you might think at times with his 4-3-4 stat line. And he can also ramp that damage. So I'm really liking Dr. Octopus here. And then lastly, for a similar reason but a little different, is Korbach Spider-Man. Having that flex 4 for, again, those higher weird point values, having a level of control that Korbach's Peter brings me, and additionally having the objective play of a long mover in conjunction with Black Widow, I think is really nice. So I don't see a ton of mystic attacks being out there, so him having his spider senses I think is really nice. And yeah, I mean, just overall, I think it's going to be a fun list. I don't really know, like, competitively how viable it's going to be, but I'm going to tell you, like, kind of the idea, Nate. So the idea is to try to gunline things, right? So I want to put Cyclops and Cable out there every game, no matter what, right? That's my 9 points.
That's okay? Your nine.
So we start with that nine, and then depending on scenario, we try to get more range in there. So maybe we put Domino in there to take it to 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we put Dr. Octopus in there, taking that to 15. And then we can put Black Widow in there to make our 17 list. Or we can throw in a Spider-Man, because he does have that range with his impact webbing of range 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I could take out maybe Dr. Octopus and Black Widow and put in a Spider-Man.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But hang on, what am I thinking of here? Crap. I'm thinking of something. Yeah, so take out two threes, put in Spider-Man and Black Widow, and there you go. That's what I was thinking of. That still doesn't work.
No, you're still off.
Damn it. See, I'm not good at this part of this game. You know.
So what you're saying is you've got Cable and Domino and Cyclops and Black Widow and one other three.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying at 17. Exactly. It. Yeah, don't judge me, okay?
No judgment.
But no, it's like I like Mystique in there too. You know what I mean? Like throwing Mystique out because she's got that range 3 pistol attack with some rapid fire. She can has the martial artist. People can't use reactive superpowers on her. So like maybe Mystique is the play. But also, so again, like I really wanted to try to like focus on a gun line type thing. Which is, mm-hmm. I guess, why I was trying to talk myself into putting Jean and Cassandra Nova in there, because both of them have those longer ranges. Clearly should have done it now. But either way, I think it'll work. I think it'll work. And the idea will be to play off a little bit and play back. And I think that I'll be able to, if I want to change out Cyclops for Storm, and I think I can still do the same thing. It's just work it a little differently, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can very easily at that point do Storm, Domino, Beast, and then Mystique for 12, and then throw in Cable to get to your 17 affiliated.
Right.
So, I mean, you got a lot of play with the extra leader in there.
Exactly. And the thing with Beast that I find interesting is, so he's kind of like really the only more frontline bruiser that I have in this whole list overall. And he's one of those characters that he has that real serious weakness to energy. But again, I don't see necessarily like a ton of like crazy energy stuff going on in this game. And if I see a Rocket across the board, if I see a Cable, if I see another Cyclops, you know, maybe Captain Marvel, well, maybe I don't put Beast out there and I put somebody else out there instead. And mm-hmm. I think that when I don't see that, though, Beast is one of those characters that you can throw out there. And because he's size 3, it turns off a lot of throws and a lot of pull and push mechanics in the game that we have in this core set. And he's one of those characters that if you don't deal with him, he's going to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's going to kind of just depend on who I'm facing off against and kind of what the crisis setup is, as to whether or not Beast sees the table. But additionally, I also like the idea of throwing Baron Zemo in there to kind of hang out with Cable and Cyclops and give them the rerolls that they need to really turn them up a little bit. Because having played a lot of games with Cable at this point, having played a fair few games with Cyclops now, especially lately, both of these characters really benefit from a tiny bit of dice fixing. And I think that Zemo hanging out with those guys will kind of be very useful. So that's
makes
kind
sense.
Of the character thoughts. Yeah.
So let's talk tactic cards. You've already mentioned that with Beast and Mystique, you get access to the advanced R&D. What else did you bring?
So we've got advanced R&D, deception, and then recalibration matrix comes with the domino pack.
Mm-hmm.
So we got recalibration matrix in here too, because who doesn't like saying, hey, that die roll looks good, let's re-roll it again. So there you go. I like all that. But from the core set, though, I brought Brace for Impact as my only restricted card. I didn't feel like Patch Up was worth it in general, a lot for the reasons you mentioned. I don't think Patch Up is particularly great right now, and I don't expect to really need to do that. So
yeah, I don't think anybody... I think this conversation changes a little bit if we predicted more people playing Ghost Rider or more people playing Hulk for those E-Secures.
Right.
But I felt pretty confident we're going to see more spread out games.
Exactly. So I brought Brace for Impact. I brought Disarm because you have been the champion of Disarm. And it's super good. I mean, being able to say, oh, hey, Thor, you're only going to roll 4 dice for this attack this time. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love doing that? So that's actually the only 2 cards from the core set I brought. The rest are X-Men cards. So I brought Children of the Atom. So it's an uncanny X-Men card. X-Men character may play this card. Remove all special conditions from this character if it gains 1 power for each special condition removed in this way. So basically, if someone loads me up like a Hawkeye with a bunch of conditions or Scarlet Witch or something... well, I can just take those off and gain a power. So, Nice little fun thing, I think. I don't know how often I'll use it, but it's fun. And we're going to try it. And then I also brought First Class. At the start of the activation phase, an allied Uncanny X-Men character may play this card. Each allied Uncanny X-Men character does not have to spend power the first time they interact with an objective token this round. So, to your point, we know more or less the majority of the crises we're going to see. So if someone brings Origin Bombs, if somebody brings Skrulls or Spider Infected or Cubes, whatever it is, I'm going to have a leg up to start the game by being able to interact with those things right away without spending power. So saving myself a little power. And then lastly, to me, my X-Men. A character with an uncanny X-Men leadership ability may spend any number of power to play this card. For each power spent... one uncanny X-Men character may advance short toward this character. So kind of a get out of dodge for some characters that might need a little help. Simply put.
Yeah.
So those are my tactics cards. You know, I more just wanted to try as many affiliated cards as possible and then splash in some fun things like Recalibration Matrix and Deception, Disarm, that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Crisis-wise, I did something a little interesting. So for extracts, I did the 3 core extracts. Skrulls, Spider Infected, Struggle for the Cube. I feel good about all 3 of those, actually. So Spider Infected and Struggle for the Cube, specifically with First Class, I feel like I'll be very okay with those. Skrulls, I like because it starts a fight. And again, if I can gunline it a little bit, then I'm really interested in that. Like, oh, you're stuck there trying to grab this token. Well, I'm going to blast you now, you know? So then next up, Secure Crisis, though. Every opportunity I have, I want to pick Secures. Spoiler alert. So,
yep.
We have Sword Base on... yeah, Sword Base. It's a C Secure 14 threat. I really want that one. That's my number one A1 choice. Then we've got Mutant Madman. Turns the city center into a playground or whatever it is. It's a B secure 18 threat, and then Deadly Meteors with that C again. Like, I want one of those 2 Cs because then that creates a fight in the middle of the board that I can just hopefully blast away on.
Mm-hmm.
But my 14 threat is interesting because, again, Cable, Cyclops at 9, so I've got to get to that 5, and I think it ends up being some combination of either Mystique... It's some 3 and Black Widow at that point. But I really like kind of how that all can play. And Black Widow, for a 2-threat character, has some interesting ranged play. Like her, what is it called? Widow mixed technique or pistol? Yeah, it's pistol. There it is. I mean, just being able to be at range 3 and shoot at people. Why not? You know what I mean? So,
sure.
I like it. I mean, I it's one of those things that it'll work and I can grab an extract and run away. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for the league, everything that can be done with it and everything else. And I think you're one of the few that actually has a variety of different crises that they were able to pick from and kind of tune their list to.
Yeah, what's cool is, so the Cable and Domino box coming with Sword Base, and then the Cyclops and Storm box coming with Mutant Madman. So I think trying to get that variety in there might throw some people off a little bit, because to your point, I think everyone is preparing for 17. They're like, all right, we've got 17 locked down. And it's like, well, what do you have for 14? Because I bet it's not as good. And mine's not as good either, but I don't care. It's going to be fun. So there you go. That's the stuff. And as I've gone through this, Nate, I have decided I should have gone with Jean and Cassandra Nova. Because then my 14 threat list is legitimately scary.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
So, oh well. You live and you learn. Learn from my mistakes out there, Suits. But with that, Suits, let us know what you think of each of our lists. I know I shoot from the hip quite a bit, and I think that shines through in my list making here. We'll see how this goes. I'm trying to get some more reps in with X-Men before we get NashCon soon, because while I don't expect that I'll be playing X-Men out in NashCon, I am very excited to kind of just see if I can make some stuff work. See if something feels good, and maybe find the secret sauce to make the X-Men feel right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to happen, but we shall see. And also, speaking of NashCon, Nate, are there any tickets left?
No, we are sold out.
Sold out. So if you didn't get your tickets for NashCon, that's unfortunate. But for all those Suits that are coming out to NashCon, I hope to see y'all there. And I hope that you will, we'll get some games in. It'll be fun. It's going to be a great time, and all that stuff. So, Nate, before I wrap this up, did you have any other questions for me about this?
No, man. I think you covered it all quite well.
Excellent. Nate, thanks for popping on with us to have this special talk about our three-box challenge. You sound like you had a way, way, way better plan than me, and I respect that.
Man, there was just so many great ways to go about it.
There is.
And after learning that the only other person who had talked about doing Web Warriors was not doing Web Warriors, I was like, well, can't have them not represented.
Yeah, no, if they would definitely not have been represented. I wanted to do them, but I thought Dizzard was going to do it. So I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But there we go. So make sure to check out everybody's stuff on this. You can check out the there's a link to Across the Bifrost Nexus that you can check out with some more information on all of this. And yeah, stay tuned for the battle reports and all that stuff, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.